Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, as always, Corey Fowler. And joining me today, Jaime. Jaime's from the websites team, and you're here to talk about a relatively new feature, which is going to bring some awesome functionality to Windows Azure websites.
Yes, it's called WebGems. Okay, it's basically a way to do background processing for your websites. Okay, it runs in the context of websites. What I mean by that, it runs on the same sandbox that your website is in. If you have a free account or shared or a standard tier, you can run this inside of the same context there. With that, what that means is that you can share the information. You can look at your IIS logs. You have access to all the different things that you would normally, but it is protected by the deployment credentials because you need to have full control of how these jobs are executed.
Okay, so let's take a quick stop there. So basically, with everything running in the same context, that means the website itself, the site extensions that we talked about with David Ebbo a couple shows ago, and all these web jobs are all running within the same environment. So that means environment variables, connection strings, all of those things that are contained within your Windows Azure website are all surfaced to the web jobs themselves.
That's right. And including the environment variables, it will be things that, for example, will give you a unique identifier to the machine that the job is or the executable is actually running on. And it with that, you can also figure out who else is within your instance pool.
So that's if you have a scale-out scenario and you have something where you don't want all of your workers to touch the single a single resource because there could be some contention there. You can just narrow it down to a single instance.
And there's a lot, so that lends itself into some parallelization algorithms, and you can get really fancy with it. There is way too many scenarios really to try to touch on each one that are enabled by by this feature, but we'll just give you some basic more common scenarios. Okay, so just to give you a quick example, if you wanted to say clean up a database on a Tuesday at 5, because that's when you see the least amount of traffic. There is, you know, it's a small enough job that it can run within the same context as your website. It's not gonna, it's still over resources. It's a big enough job so you don't that you don't need to run it within the website. So this kind of serves that gap between large amounts of processing and almost no processing at all. It's a lightweight kind of processing power.
Yeah. You just called into it that you can actually go out and schedule these jobs. Are there any other kind of job triggers, if you will?
Right. So web jobs, the mental model that I find helpful is the one of like an operating system, right? It'll just help explain it. But we have two kinds of runnable processes, right? The first one is like Word or something. I come in here, and the user will come in and start Word. And I just trigger this process to turn on. It's doing its thing. It's living by itself, and it's waiting for my input. Okay? And I close it. I'm the owner. And another kind of thing is services. And that's another way of running processes. These are basically things that are happening in the background. Okay, all these things are running all the time, and they are kept alive by the operating system. There's something back there making sure that it's alive.
So if the process was to fail, there's something there to make sure that it wakes it back up and restarts the process.
Exactly. Yeah. So that the same kind of analogy transfers over to web jobs. It runs in two basic modes, right? That is on a trigger and continuously, okay? The continuous is being helped by something that's checking the health of it, and if it finds that that the process is not running for some reason, it'll bring it back up. Some of the reasons may be you failed to, for example, encapsulate your continuous job in a endless loop to make it running continuous, and it will go down after a while. Or there's an error. There's also upgrades to the machines and the environments that we do in the background. And whenever we do upgrades and we bring in features like this, every machine needs to be recycled.
Is that on some sort of heartbeat time?
There is a heartbeat there.
Okay.
There is a heartbeat
and
there.
And is the heartbeat configurable?
Right now, it's not. Okay. It is going to be. This is still in preview, and there's still a few tweaks here and there that we can try to configure.
That's a good thing to note, just to, sorry. WebJobs is in preview right now. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of great functionality that you can test out, mm-hmm. which means we need a lot of feedback.
Yeah, we do.
So this is a call to action for you guys. Right below this video screen here, there's a nice little portal where you can type in your feedback. There's also a user voice address,
right.
And I can get you, we'll leave it in the show notes on how you can go and talk about web jobs at the user voice to either get new features or, you know, say how awesome the team has been doing bringing these features alive. So.
Right. Yeah, it's a chance to really help us design these things to make sure that they answer actual problems that you're facing, and they're more targeted towards the people that actually leave the feedback.
Yeah.
So
cool. So I know everyone's on the edge of their seat right now, going, "Okay, how do I do this?
Yeah.
How do we actually get a website up or a web job up and running?"
Okay. So I am going to go from scratch here. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to start a website. As you can tell, I name them container one, container two, because in my mind, or logically, websites are containers for web jobs, okay? And let's create container three.
Great.
Container three, and let's do it near us, huh? And we're gonna go ahead and put it on that subscription.
I like how you choose the paid subscription over the free subscription.
Oh, because I want to actually show you some cool things that come with the paid subscription.
Cool.
For example, if your website is not getting enough traffic, if you're in free, mm-hmm. your website is not getting enough traffic, or I think there's a couple of other conditions that will trigger the website to be dereferenced from memory.
Yeah.
Okay, and that basically makes it cold. And whenever you get a hit into the website, it will wake up again or warm up, right?
Yep.
If you're in standard, there is this new feature called Always On, and basically what that is it's kind of like the services. There is something monitoring to make sure that the website is up and running, and if it goes down for whatever reason, if it were same thing, yeah, you know, error in your website code, if there is like no traffic at all, if there is a upgrade to the underlying thing and you haven't had any hit, this monitoring service will go in and make sure that you're always on. So hence the name.
Cool.
So okay, so
container three.
Of container three. In container three, we'll see on the top web jobs. Still in preview. It'll be in preview for a bit longer. We have a few things that we've gotten feedback on, and mm-hmm. we want to include those.
Feedback's
if you want to leave
important.
Feedback, right now is really the time. Okay, so here we're in an empty dashboard. Okay, there's no jobs. And there's a couple of ways at this point to add a job. There's the text, and then there is a plus sign on the bottom. So let's go ahead and click on the text because it's the only time you'll be able to. We're going to create a, let's call it an on-demand job. Kind of like Word. It only executes when the user asks for this thing to execute. So one of the things that we're going to do is, go ahead and start a new project. It'll take 5 seconds. It's going to be a little hello world. Okay. Spell.
Huh. I just noticed that there's actually like Bing How To, is that an add-on that you've added?
It is an add-on.
That's cool.
Yeah, it just came out. It's something supposed to like look through.
Oh, that's the Bing C# code search.
Exactly.
Oh, that's really cool.
Searches through examples and it tells you.
Cool. Yeah. We'll make sure we include a link in the show notes for that, because that's awesome.
Yeah, I forgot I even had that in here. I haven't. I installed it last night. So, so we have our little hello world. Okay. We're going to go ahead and compile this and succeed it. We're going to then go into Documents, Visual Studio, Projects.
So for everyone else out there, while you go in and find this project, this is a regular Windows console application. Nothing special about it.
No. Vanilla.
Vanilla.
Totally vanilla.
Excellent. Cool, and then now we're going into the actual debugged folder to get the executable file out of there.
Exactly, we're gonna get the executable file. So, okay, so the natural tendency is to go in here, click on the bug in that folder, and try to zip it up, okay? Why are we zipping it up? I think I skipped over that. It's because when we're doing the deployments through the portal this way, you'll notice that it takes zip files, okay? And only zip files at this point, which means that even if you have one executable or PS1 file or anything else, you still have to zip it up.
Well, okay? I mean, like if you think of anything that isn't Hello World, you're gonna have extra DLLs, you're gonna have your executable, you're gonna have some sort of config file.
Yeah.
So there's never gonna be a perfect world where you have one file alone to upload. So having it in a zip container makes sense.
For this, right now. Anyway, so natural tendency is to go in here and do so, right? What is that?
Should new.
There we go. And send to and compress the file. The problem with this is that when you open up this file, right?
So I've actually done this myself.
Right. There is this this folder, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't know what to go into what folder to look for what executable, so it fails.
The guidance that you're giving here is when you do zip up your console application, the portal's going to expect everything to be in the root of the zip file, and it's just going to go and grab everything out of there,
exactly.
Which means if it's just going to go grab everything out of the root of it, if you have a folder there, it's only grabbing the folder, and when the web job process comes around looking for the executable to process, it's just like, no, there's nothing here. I think we're good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So the thing to do is to remember to come in here and actually grab the executables and whatever other files you may need. Remote debugging would be enabled if you were to, enable that in your website and include the PDB files. But let's go ahead and just do the executable at this point. And compressed. And there it is, console application 8. We're going to go in here and where are we? Console application 8.
Great.
Okay. And right now we're just going to show you on demand. Okay. Yep. It's the easiest conceptually thing to look at. Okay. So what is happening here? It's uploading, it's unzipping. Okay. It says that we're creating a web job. It's on demand, which is basically humanly triggered triggered, you know, some kind of trigger.
Now, and one other thing, Azure supports a wide variety of languages, right? So we just showed off the Windows console app scenario, but there's other scenarios there as well. Like you could have a Python script, a PHP script, Node.js application, anything along those lines. Are those all supported?
Those are all supported. Let me show you something interesting. We started collecting all the documentation related to web jobs in a single place. We're trying really hard to contain all of these things because there has been a lot of stuff coming up. It's under just Cura, Microsoft. If you just
we can give a show link in the notes. So
okay, that sounds great.
We'll be able to have the one web jobs resource as a link, and they'll be able to find this page.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay, very good. So then in here is something from Amit, who is actually the developer for this feature, and it will dump you into the wiki page for web jobs, and in that it'll give you all the REST API details. It will give you what is supported. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we see command, bat, PS1,
PowerShell,
Bash, Python, PHP, etc. Cool. And if we ever, because it's again under the context and umbrella of websites, if ever we add another stack, it'll magically appear and be usable within the web jobs.
Great.
So that way we don't have to keep chasing that.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so we have our zip file there. We know that we can support multiple mm-hmm. versions. Let's go trigger that job, shall we?
Sure. Let's see. We see that there is a button here for running once, and it'll do exactly that. Running that on-demand job. And you'll see that on the right there are logs. The reason it's just a hello world, it ran in a millisecond, but we can't do millisecond stuff on the portal just yet, okay? So it's just taking a little bit of time to actually catch up with what actually happened, and there it is. It ran a millisecond ago. Mm-hmm. and it says running, but it obviously finished. And we can go in and click on the logs and get more detailed information as to what ran. Okay, the ID is basically a timestamp, mm-hmm. okay, and a time date stamp, okay. Some status of failure running or ran, when it started, when it finished, the duration, it looks like it was more than a millisecond, and an output file, okay. This output file is basically a capture of the standard output and standard error from the console. Oh.
It looks like we have a countdown. I think we uploaded the wrong console.
We uploaded the wrong application.
But that's cool. I mean, like, it doesn't really matter if it was Hello World or whatnot. This is obviously like a for loop that has a countdown from 20 to 1.
Yeah, and it
and
just...
it just goes and does a console.write as well. So, and then apparently it failed. It didn't hit 0. Sad day for 0.
Status changed to failed. Oh, I remember this. I was trying to demonstrate how to deal with failures and how to do remote debugging. This is from a previous demo that I did.
Okay.
And it's a division by 0.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So these are the divisors. Okay, but that makes up. The other, okay, so I kind of glossed over it a little bit, but let's go back and take a look at the other kinds of jobs. Okay, scheduled, and I'm gonna use the same thing because it's loaded in here, and load that up, and I'm gonna run this one on a schedule.
Yep.
Okay. What is that doing? That's actually working alongside the Azure Scheduler. The Azure Scheduler just came online. It's a different service, and we're taking independence on the service, mm-hmm. and it basically guarantees the accuracy of the time and the cadence of it. There is a way to manage it. The regions that it is deployed is different than the regions that are deployed for websites. Mm-hmm. That is why you see a slight difference here,
yep.
okay, and it's asking you for that. You want to choose the one that's closest to you, just in case that it's latency is important to you.
Yeah, because if you're firing off a job at like midnight, and you know you're firing the job off from the schedule that's in Asia, and you're all the way over here in the U.S., you know there is that potential ping time
exactly
between the two, and if it has to be exact, you're obviously going to be a couple, you know, potentially a couple minutes off, depending on how bad the latency is on the line.
Yeah, imagine how bad it would be for New Year's if you had to change your site for New Year's and you're off by a couple of minutes.
Everyone's at partying. Work really well. 12:05, your new site comes online.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. Let's go ahead and go South Central U.S.
Great.
Just for the fun of it. Okay. In here, you have other options. This is basically, okay, at this point, you notice that when I asked this, when I added the scheduler, it added another tab to my wizard, mm-hmm. okay? That basically brings in a subset of the stuff that you find in the Azure scheduler, okay?
Yeah.
you see that there are some other notions in here. Mm-hmm. They have a notion of a job, and it differs a little bit here. It's a time job, right? So you can have jobs scheduled in two different ways. You can have it as a one-time job. Mm-hmm. That it would be a perfect example, the whole midnight. You want to change something for that one time, or you have a sale that's starting exactly on Black Friday, etc.
Yeah.
Or you have a recurring job. A real example would be, what was the total sales for the week? And you run it like at midnight of Sunday or something.
Well, like even the first scenario that you brought up at the beginning of the show where you want to do some database cleanup.
Yeah.
But instead of database cleanup, it's just going back to the database and tabulating different results.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So the one-time job, you know, you can start it now, which is kind of redundant, but you can start it on whatever schedule that you want, or you can trigger it on whatever date that you want.
Happy leap year.
Happy leap year, that's right. That's part of the things that Azure Scheduler takes care of, the leap year calculations. And reoccurring jobs will allow you to go down to minutes. You can actually set up a cadence for a minute. There are some limitation depending on the tier that you are. Mm-hmm. For the Azure Scheduler, there's they have their own page, but it's basically something like you have up to 5 jobs that you can have, mm-hmm. okay, for free. And there is a cadence or a period that you can set that minimum.
Okay.
And then if you go and you actually sign up to the service for a standard tier, you got, I don't know, like 50 or unlimited. It works out to millions of jobs or something like that. And mm-hmm. then you can have a 1 minute resolution.
So the one thing that I want to call out here is this scheduler is getting set up in the actual scheduler service. Mm-hmm. So it's a good thing to note that the scheduler itself's not going to have any performance impact on your website. Mm-hmm. However, it's calling the web job that is in the same web space mm-hmm. As your site. So if you are running it as a cadence of every minute, you mm-hmm. want to make sure that that's not one of these really heavy processes that if you're running your web job and there's a whole bunch of users coming to your site at the same time, you don't overload your site and just
I have a really good reply to that.
Okay.
We're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
No, that's cool. Carry on.
But we need to bring this up because it does come up. It's one of the most discussed questions at this point because, what am I giving up on the user side when I do this?
Okay.
So here we can start to our job right now, okay? Or you can start it at some specified time. And let's start it now and end it by, I don't know, the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's going to go, actually, let's not do end of the month. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'll go in and delete it later because it's going to be,
it'll be there for
hundreds of division by error, thousands of division by errors. No one's going to like that. So, uploaded that job. Now we have it on a schedule. And just to hurry things up a little bit, let's...
just so we don't have to wait until the end of March to show you. I don't know, let's just camp out for a little bit, shall we?
Yeah, exactly. I will have my Dr. Peppers. I'm all set.
All right, so that went and ran, and, you know...
No, since I ran it here, on, it shows as on demand because I hit the run button. But let's give it some time for the scheduler to pick up and everything to hook up. There is, finally, the continuous. Continuous, the way that you write the jobs for continuous, it has to have a while loop that will actually try to, within your code, make it run continuously. We have a web jobs API, or SDK rather, that will help you do some of these things and make sure you have a continuously running thing. It's another layer that helps you have this running. There's a whole different show.
Yeah, we'll have Pranav on a show to talk about that because we wanted to go really in depth with this feature and then really in depth with the Web Jobs SDK. So we split it into two shows for everyone out there.
Yeah. Okay, that's probably a good thing. There is a lot of context to that, and it's really cool. So there is continuous, mm-hmm. and I'm not exactly sure how it's going to behave because I don't have a while loop on this thing. So mm-hmm. Let's see.
Well, you know, what we talked about earlier, hopefully, you know, it's going to kick off the job the first time, that's for sure.
Right.
And then you said that there should be some sort of process that wakes it up after
right.
amount of time. So
that's right.
when we go and get those logs, we'll probably see, well, actually, we'll see the different runs of that job and see it fail and then see it restart.
Okay, so we have the continuously running job. Remember that this is the division by zero, so we're seeing that the actual last run result is accurate. Our scheduled job, as you can see, started running on the schedule. Mm-hmm. Okay, it doesn't say on demand anymore. I'm going to stop hitting this button, which is what's triggering the it showing us on demand. When I click on the schedule, on that scheduled job, it'll dump us back into, into the scheduler
service
that we have. And within that, we have the different regions, okay? These are actually containers for the actual scheduled jobs, okay? There, I think you end up with a one free container and then you have to pay for subsequent ones.
Okay.
Again, there's more details somewhere in our documentation.
Okay, we'll pull up the documentation for the show notes. And then people will know exactly what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah. You get for free for a while, and then you'll hit a wall. And as your site grows, you won't mind the wall so much. Anyway, so here is what's actually happening for this job. It's basically doing a quick post to the SCM site, okay, that is under jobs, triggered, scheduled, and that should be like the name of the job. Mm-hmm. There is some magic happening.
Yeah, so it's a job, it's a trigger job, scheduled is the actual name mm-hmm. of the job itself, and then we're saying this post command needs to be run because we want to run that job that we just...
That's right. Yeah. And there is something I probably shouldn't have showed.
Well, I think you're safe there because it looks like it's cut off,
Obviously,
we don't want just anyone going and triggering off a job because that API endpoint is public.
Exactly.
People know about it. They might not know your job name, mm-hmm. but even if they were to magically come up and find your job name, you don't mm-hmm. just want anyone going and firing off your jobs. So obviously, we want to make sure that there's some authentication there to make sure that not anyone's able to go and do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You can have a self-destruct job that you need to have well under wraps, right?
Yeah.
So there is the stuff should be very familiar to us. It's the stuff that we saw in the wizard earlier, okay? And this is where you would come to edit that.
Cool.
Okay. Let me show you. Okay. So we hinted a little bit as to the structure of what's actually happening behind the scenes there. Okay. Let's go into this SCM site. David Ebo. It's giving us some tutorials on that. Let's go ahead and go to it and see our jobs running in the wild. See how it's working in the background.
Cool. So I'm guessing because we're going into what I refer to as the Kudu dashboard, which I believe is actually called Kudu Console, and I should start using that name.
Yes.
But the Kudu Console has a lot of great things for you. That David showed off when he was on the show prior to this for site extensions, mm-hmm. Like the debug console and diagnostic logs and stuff like that.
Okay.
But this is also kind of like the endpoint for some of those public site extensions that are all included within Windows Azure mm-hmm. websites itself.
Right.
So I'm guessing like we saw earlier. The web jobs panel that came up and we hit the download button, mm-hmm. that is a site extension itself. Mm-hmm. So that's how you see the listing. What are you going to show us in this now?
I am going to show you how to get into what's actually happening in my jobs in the background.
Cool.
Okay. Before I do this, actually, I wanted to address a question that you brought up.
Yes.
Of what happens when I have a job that has a lot of CPU and resource dependencies in the context of the website, because I have visitors that are still needing mm-hmm. those CPUs and those resources.
Yep.
If you have more than one instance, okay, the load balancer will detect that one of these instances is slower than the other. So it's going to try to balance things out by pushing more traffic towards the one that has that's more able to serve more requests. So what this means is if you have a job that's overloading one of your instances, all your visitors will start getting put in the other instance. Okay, so that happens kind of by frame. There is also a difference on how the jobs run within a multi-instance environment. If you have, say, two instances, and you have a continuous job, the continuous job will actually go and run on both instances. Okay. There is an option to set it to be a singleton.
Okay.
That would be that the only one of these will run that continuous job, and the other one will not.
One continuous job to rule them all.
Exactly. And then for trigger job, that is basically works exactly the same way that visitors would visit the site, right? As we saw through the scheduler, it was basically a post into the right place, done the right way, and that's what triggered that job. So it goes through the load balancer. It says which of the machines is less loaded, and it'll go and post to that job and trigger that post to that magic place and trigger that job.
Okay.
So again, the load balancer will take care of it, but this inherently runs on only one of the instances. If you have multiple triggers into the same job, and you have multiple instances, it's more or less random, but you can think that depending on your load through each, it'll start picking one or the other.
Kind of like a round robin kind of system.
There is a way to define how you want your load balancing to be, okay? Or there will be a way to,
So I guess what you're going to show off here is the web jobs REST API endpoint, so we can actually understand how to go and push off to the proper instance.
To the proper,
just to fire into one.
This will be into, okay, so this is the CUDA environment. Within the CUDA environment, we see that we have a couple of things. Actually, let me go back there a little bit. You see that at the very bottom, you have web jobs. And this will dump you and tell you all the things that are happening in the web jobs. These are basically, it's a snapshot of all the triggers that are happening. What are the output URLs, the errors, and it gives you a little bit more than you probably wanted.
Well, it's not necessarily more than you really wanted, because this is an API. So you could actually hit this through some other service that you have.
Yep.
And you can see, you can even make a dashboard for, sitting in your dev office of what jobs ran, what failed, what not, and it could all be loaded through this API.
Yeah.
So it's actually really interesting to have that. Yeah.
It is. So in here, we have this debug console. Okay. Now let me show you what we can see here. So all the logs and all the data that generated by the web jobs end up in this folder called data. Okay. And come on. Okay.
We have really fast internet.
I can tell.
There we go.
Maybe it's my using LS, that's really okay. So you'll see that it has the same kind of structure, right? Well, there's two kinds of jobs. There's two types of folders, right? So we have this. We went into triggered, okay? And you see that we have the names of the jobs that I created. Let's go to our on-demand.
So that's the actual job that was the name of the job that was run, not the type of job that was run.
No, we went. If you notice, we're at our dhome is basically our root.
Yep.
Okay. Then data. Okay. Jobs. Triggered the type of job.
Type of job. Yep.
And on demand is the name that I gave it. Probably
yep.
I should have.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Because
said something like my job or something a little more descriptive.
Because on demand was an option where you just click the
yeah.
play button in the portal. So I just wanted to clarify that for everyone out there.
Yeah, I should use different names there. So we have a folder with a timestamp of this run. And within that folder, we have the error log, output log, status, mm-hmm. and all kinds of fun stuff.
Great. Okay?
So let's see if that works.
Nope. That will.
Yeah. Okay. And what I want to show you now is where the jobs actually reside.
Great.
Okay. And let me go back to this. Okay. So I'm going to use the menus on top to navigate. It might be a little bit faster. And I'll go, this is basically the root, okay? Mm-hmm. Wherever I am here, it'll reflect up here,
yep.
okay? So I'm going to go into the site,
yep.
okay? The site, and then I'm going to go into .root. And this is basically where your web deploy would dump things in, mm-hmm. okay? And within that, we have this app data folder. That means that if you have in Visual Studio a website mm-hmm. that you're deploying, if whatever you put in AppData, if you put a job in AppData and you format the folder structure just right so yeah. that it will get picked up by web jobs.
So if you're in the world that I kind of go in, which is the PHP or mm-hmm. Node kind of scenario, you can do the same thing with Git. So your project structure, when you go and have everything in, just make sure that in the root of your Git repository, you have app_data/jobs. And it's actually the path that you need is documented on the GitHub wiki.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can actually go and deploy your web jobs from source control instead of having to use the portal or whatever. So it gives like a nice holistic experience where, you know, you have the ability to go and zip things up and mm-hmm. push it through the portal, or use source control if you do deployments through that, or other scenarios like potentially web deploy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, remember that, okay, so I guess it would be a good time to point out this. There is no XML, there is no registry of sorts managing all these jobs in the background. Mm-hmm. All it is putting jobs in a specific folder, okay, that with an executable that are in the order described here, okay, and that is it. You don't have to like do anything. Just dump the command file mm-hmm. if you want. If performance is an issue, there is a way. The first thing we're gonna look for is run the command.
And then if not, the first of one of these types that it comes across is the first thing to execute.
Yeah, right? The order is given here, command, bat, exe, blah, 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 et cetera.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it's just placement. So that opens it up to anything, right?
Yeah. And it's probably now the easiest feature that has ever been implemented, ever, because there's no configuration, there's no XML, there's nothing, like you said. You just drop it and go.
You drop it and go, yeah. And I'm glad you said that.
We like to joke around.
So here it is. I went into the triggered, and I went into on-demand, which is, again, I should have thought of a better name for a demo, and my console application 8. EXE is sitting right there.
Cool.
And I'm sure you can hit it from here as well. But
so I guess the only difference between using the portal and trying to do source code deployment of a job is you miss out on the scheduled experience. Like you'd actually have to go and custom configure the schedule mm-hmm. to kick it off. But I mean, at least you know there's flexibility there.
That's right. That's yeah. right. And that's we've gotten some feedback on that, and we're trying to figure out a way to include that as well.
Cool.
But we don't have an answer just yet.
Yep.
We're still in preview. There may be, remember us in preview, there may be something.
That's the thing is we don't have to say what it is. We point to you, audience. Tell us what you think is the right answer, and we'll kind of curate all of that and figure out what the experience that people that are actually using this on a day-to-day basis would like to see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. And with that, I think, I can show you, for example, how Visual Studio Online would work with this.
Like editing.
Yeah, you can go in and edit. Remember, it's like I can go in and create myself a batch file, or
let's
a
do PA. That. Oh, yeah? Live coding.
Live coding. Okay.
You set yourself up for this.
I totally did. We're almost done. I thought. Okay. So, Visual Studio Online. I hope I have an account open on this. Right. So you can edit and add any kind of job, right? And there is this Visual Studio Online that's recently become available. So let's go ahead and try to do a quick web job.
Nice.
Online.
Live coding online. You set yourself up for this, my friend.
Well, you asked for it. So. There we go. The first thing we need to do is to go into the Configure tab. There's also a dashboard way to basically enable editing in Visual Studio Online. Again, this is in preview.
Yep.
a lot of preview on preview on preview going on here. So, and here's the always on I had just talked to you about. Okay.
Yep.
Which even if you have a continuous job, you can enable or disable always on, giving you access to some scenarios that are corner cases maybe, mm-hmm. but they're pretty interesting. Anyways,
yeah, we have
back
to hit save here.
Hit save. Okay.
Yep.
And let's do that.
So this Visual Studio feature is also a site extension.
Is it? Yeah.
Just to say how much cool things go through and are actually site extensions within within all the experience that's in here, which is really quite neat.
And then after that, we go in and we can go into the dashboard for this website where we have turned on the edit in Visual Studio. And we can go in and edit in Visual Studio. And you'll notice that this is similar to where the web jobs sits, right?
Yeah. This is another one of those public site extensions, which I'm so incredibly happy and excited about.
Yeah.
You have no idea. Like when I saw Visual Studio Online light up within here, I was like, enjoy! Because now it means like, for a while now, I've been trying to get away from having to haul a computer around with me and just bring a tablet.
Right.
So I've been using like my Surface Pro, but you know sometimes I have both my Pro and my RT with me.
Okay.
And being able to, as long as I have an internet connection, go and edit code online, I can do this from my RT device.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
So
yeah.
I pop into websites. I have one website that's set up as my like developer box, and I can go and edit things through Visual Studio Online.
Right.
And then I have my other website where. You know, I'm either using Git or TFS Online,
mm-hmm.
Like a Git in TFS Online to deploy out to now a staging slot,
wow.
which we'll talk to in a future show.
Yeah.
And then I can test things out there before I promote it to production. So it's really cool to be able to have this whole end-to-end online workflow
yeah.
and not have to carry around something that's like super heavy. I have my RT device and I'm on the go and it's golden.
I got a better idea. Go backpack Nicaragua. Go from internet cafe to internet cafe. Just go in and continue working, and no one will tell. Okay, so we have Visual Studio Online working up here, and you'll see that the only folder that I have on this basically empty website is AppData. Okay, mm-hmm. Within AppData, if we open that up, we'll see that we have. That folder structure I keep talking about,
mm-hmm.
Jobs, continuous, and triggered. Okay, so let's go ahead and do a triggered job.
Have you cooked up your live coding scenario yet? Are you going to do PowerShell command, drop into some Node.js, JavaScript maybe?
Oh, I'll do something really crazy.
Really crazy?
Really crazy.
Oh, wow.
I'm
excited now.
I'm just kidding. It's just going to be DIR.
It's so crazy. Look at the directory structure we just looked at.
How long is your show? All right. So we have triggered, and every job needs its own folder. So what we're going to do here is create a new folder, not under triggered. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me get out of that.
Yeah.
Oh, under triggered. Okay. Create a new folder, and we're going to call it
live coding.
Yes.
Live coding.
Live coding.
Nice.
Cool. Okay. And in here, we are going to create a run me. Run this.
Way to break convention.
You like it? On live television, only here. So, we created it there. We should go up back to our websites. Go back into our web jobs. And there is, see? Sucked
nice.
It right in. All it has to
do is directory just structure.
For a directory, yeah. Super simple.
Conventions, love it.
And click start, and there it goes. Let's see what you did.
Oh, it's
how much damage you can create with one line.
it outputs quite a bit of stuff, so yeah, it will be very exciting to see.
So we're gonna come in here and take a look. Let's look at what the actual output of this was. And there is your output of your your PS1.
I love
command.
PowerShell. So this is a nice listing of the PowerShell commands.
Jesus.
Courtesy of a web job.
That's great. Wow. All right.
I'm gold.
That's really cool.
Cool. Well, that's really exciting.
That's really good.
So that's that was a live coding example. The first time ever we've done a live coding example.
Whoa.
No, it's
kidding. Breaking ground again.
It did show the flexibility to go and create a job on the fly, which is really, really interesting. Because if you do what I do is try and do everything online now, you do have the ability to just go simply create a job and even code it right in spot in the place.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you have anything else you want to cover, show off?
No, I think we've covered pretty much everything. I'm not showing you the Git deployment. There is a lot of material out there covering that.
Yeah, and we essentially just covered it, right? Because we added the folder structure just as if we would have had to for a Git deployment.
Right.
So.
Great. So we covered on how it runs in multiple instances, what kind of jobs there are. And one last thing I could mention is that there is also a because we're under the umbrella of websites, we can scale jobs. We can auto-scale jobs. We can auto-scale jobs on a schedule. See, I had...
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, well, this is... I guess I need to rethink of how I name things. I had created a scaling event called Nightly Web Jobs, which is confusing because it has nothing... There's no, like, interconnection there, but let's say that you can set up a schedule and say, you know, it's going to, you know, happen whenever, like my sales, and you know, happening tomorrow at such and such time.
Yeah. So just using the CPU meter, if we do have the job running alongside a website, it would scale automatically based on CPU usage as well.
Exactly. So that gives rise to a lot of really interesting scenarios. Scale different, there's a lot of things in there. And there is a lot of different scenarios that really are living up by having this infrastructure for web hosting also run jobs. You see, you can use it as for background processing, or you can use it for just kind of having your auto scaling kind of smallish jobs that do interesting things. So it's left up to the users, and I do want to hear how different experiences and how people were able to use it in interesting new ways.
Cool.
There are a lot of concepts here, I realize. One last thing I did forget to tell you is that this bit here, that is the instance ID of that is running the code.
So you can, like, if you do scale your web jobs out, your logs will be able to show you this is the particular instance that was running that job.
Right.
Okay. Cool.
But not only logs, right? You can do it in runtime because it's an environment. You can say, hey, if I'm such and such instance, do this. If I'm this other instance, do the other thing. And when you attach remote debugging manually, you can specify which instance you want to go in and debug.
Cool. And all that information should be available in the wiki or the one place to find the web jobs content. We'll have links at the bottom of the show here to get you off to those resources. Mm-hmm. But Jaime, man, I really got to hand it to you. This is a lot of different things you can do, incredibly easy to go out and scale. And going and showing off the Web Jobs SDK and see how much further you can really take these in some of the real world scenarios we'll be able to do is just going to blow people away. So thank you very much for coming on the show today. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me here.
And thanks to all you out there. And hopefully you'll join us next time here on WebCamps TV.